Hey, Mark here. Just a little bit of a heads up. While most of the first 20 or 30 minutes maybe are all lighthearted fun, we do end up talking about some pretty brutal stuff near the end of the episode. So if that is not your thing, we completely understand. Might be a good idea to skip this one. Let the record show that I've started recording before Seth is here.
It makes it seem like, oh, he's struggling to catch up.
Seth was here 20 minutes before me, but...
And prepared.
I said, I'm ready, and he said, hold on.
Freaking Boy Scout. The impression that you give.
That's the impression that I get.
The impression that you give. No, is that like, oh, I'm in here just waiting on Seth. You guys don't know. You can't see Mark's bedroom.
Well, this time I was waiting on you.
I walk in. Mark not only has his bed in this room, but he also has a giant teak desk that's set up in front of a bunch of bookcases, some wood wall paneling, wainscoting. I think Tim would probably be the only one that knows what wainscoting
is. Yeah, I have no clue.
Before you guys even knew it, before he even hit record, he's sitting there. He lights a cigar with a $100 bill and leans back and goes, get in here, boy.
I use a 7-year-old Filipino boy as an ottoman. I have people rush and get stuff.
People
for me.
Furniture.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what he has, like in Borat.
Yeah, actually, it was an Irish boy today in celebration of.
In celebration of
your former holiday.
For years I thought, yeah.
Okay.
There's nothing more annoying to me now than St. Patrick's Day, dude. I'm sorry.
Used to love it. Now fuck them.
Oh, fuck it. Oh.
Welcome to Lyrics to Go, the podcast where we take a deep dive into lyrics that are questionable at best, but have largely dodged public ridicule until now. I'm Mark, and I'm here with Seth. How are you, Seth?
The question is, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, you...
It's a Monday.
It looks like you had a day.
I mean, I didn't sleep super, super well.
Me neither.
Recording, so I just got home from work. I literally took off my pants, put on shorts, we're recording. I have band practice tonight.
You got
tomorrow.
Week ahead of you.
Yeah. I've got to stop by a new trivia place that I'm doing and then have band practice tomorrow night. Wednesday, I have to write my questions and then do trivia. Thursday, I go straight to my new trivia and do trivia.
Oh.
Friday, I have a night off. Saturday, I have a show.
Oof.
So it's go, go, go.
Yeah.
It's busy season. For a minute there, I was like, things have really slowed down for me, and then things really picked up for me, which is. You know, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
I bet you'll sleep good Saturday night.
I'll sleep well just about every night. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I had a hard day. Man,
were you lining
day,
rhinos?
I was lining rhinos, but it was good. I mean, I didn't run into any serious issues. It was a hard day, but it wasn't bad. It was good.
Was it a hard day's night?
No, okay. It wasn't. It was just during the day and got everything taken care of. Came home, did a workout video with my daughter and wife. That was fun.
Oh, good.
Never done anything like that before.
It sounds like fun. You Zumba'd kind of?
Sent to me by Scotty.
Oh, okay.
Within our circle, our workout king. You know, he like...
Yes, yes, yes.
He does the, what's that stuff? CrossFit. Exactly, yeah.
Absolutely.
So shout out to Scotty for sending us the videos. Had a little bit of fun doing that, but realized that the fun needed to continue over at this place, so I tried to get here early and be prepared. And I am to talk about something that I thought we were going to talk about before we started, but I think we're going to have to just address this right now. And the answer is, are we going to save everything until the end?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode 170, Seth.
We're at 170 episodes. Is that not insane?
It blows my
mind.
You
made a post today about... You know, some of your favorite episodes. And that made me look back and look at some and think about, you know, the times that we spent in here recording. And I thought of some. And one of the ones that stuck out to me was Californication with Greg.
Yeah.
Because that was the downfall of my love of the Red Hot Chili
Peppers. Yeah.
I still like them, to be honest with you. But I definitely hold them in a different view now because of that. But so many bands that we've gone over. And this show has really changed the way that I approach music.
Yeah, I went out to eat last night. and we went to Hog Bodies, and a song came on, and just even hearing a couple words in the chorus, and I'm like, what are the lyrics? And exactly. I'm like, I pull them up, and Fletcher and Kristen were like, this is his life now.
It is. It is what we do.
It is. I am obsessed with it. Uh-huh. A strange sounding chorus, a word catches my ear a little strange. Mm-hmm. And I'm immediately on Google looking up lyrics.
Same.
Immediately. And tonight, we are talking, or today, to now, we are talking about the song Dancing in the Moonlight, as made famous by King Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was originally written by a gentleman and recorded originally by a band called Bofalongo.
What a strange name.
Very strange name. Did you listen to that version?
I did.
What do you think?
The one that we know is so damn catchy that it kind of detracted from it a little bit, I thought. I kind of didn't like it.
I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I liked that it was more straight ahead.
Okay.
I dug it.
I didn't like the vocals.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. It kind of had like a wannabe Dr. John kind of thing going on.
Well, this guy, Sherman Kelly,
yes,
that sings it, has kind of a wannabe. That's exactly what I thought, a wannabe Dr. John. A little bit of Dr. John, a little bit of Leon Redbone thrown in there.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, Sherman Kelly wrote the song in 1969, mm-hmm, and recorded it singing lead with that band, Bofalongo.
His brother was in the band, a guy named Wes Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Went on to play with Meatloaf.
Oh, okay.
And he also played with another band. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
King Harvest is kind of an interesting band.
Mm-hmm.
Got together in Ithaca, New York, and then one by one, all within the same year, band members started moving to Paris.
It's kind of odd.
It's like just kind of, I think like one of them moved and was just like, man, this is far out. You guys got to come check this out. And then another guy came, and then both of them were like, this is far out. You guys got to check this out.
I mean, it is Paris. It's supposed to be magical.
Yeah, man, especially in like the late 60s, early 70s.
Probably pretty cool.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It must have been absolutely fucking incredible.
It's just an odd route, you know?
It is strange.
Ithaca to Paris.
Yeah, I mean,
But God bless them.
Yeah, Ithaca by way of Paris. Yeah. So it wasn't until they got there that they started really writing stuff in earnest. They got their name from a song by the band.
Did you hear? Do you know that song?
Oh, I do.
Oh, Richard Manuel. We've talked about
about
the different voices of the band and how, you know, just when you think you're going to like everything that Levon does and how he's so great. And then I had mentioned, I think that Rick Danko is the most underrated freaking vocalist with Makes No Difference and how awesome that is. Mm-hmm. But damn, Richard Manuel does a really good job on this freaking song, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they considered them a big influence, which is kind of strange when you hear this song. So I kind of think that maybe initially they were influenced, they said, by Jimi Hendrix, Sly and the Family Stone,
and
the band, which is kind of a weird hodgepodge, the three of those.
Definitely.
I mean, nothing wrong with it at all, because they're three great individual bands or singers or what have you, attended Cornell University, and they just basically played covers and then broke up, and then they all moved to Paris and got back together, and Sherman Kelly came and visited them and said, hey, I've got some stuff for you from America. Listen, as also my band Bofalongo did this song. And they were into it and decided to go ahead and record it.
I think you said maybe we can improve on it, and they did. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that the King Harvest version is much better.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely twinklier.
Well, I mean, just those damn keyboards at the beginning are freaking catchy to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
They are catchy.
Yeah.
Apparently, at first, they weren't really sure about doing it, but Wells Kelly, uh-huh, Sherman Kelly's brother, convinced them to check it out again and listen to it. They had a guy named Steve Cutler, who was a jazz drummer and also a former New York native, came out, cut the song, and the rest, as they say, is history. It was released in Paris with Lady Come Home on the B-side.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really do much until a American label called Perception picked it up, and It was a very quick uphill and then a crash and burn, I think, basically.
Yeah, it really didn't do much else. There was a B-side to it that was supposed to, that's listed on the Wikipedia, but ultimately this thing really didn't do back then very much chart-wise, especially in the United States. It didn't really go anywhere. It wasn't until years, and I mean, it reached number 13 in the Billboard Hot 100, but that's not, you know.
Number five in Canada.
I know. Well, you know, America light. but that's not really, you know, saying very much considering everything that came out at that time. I think that it was just, it kind of hooked itself into the American musical psyche and didn't let go, so much so that you just still hear it on classic rock stations today.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they ended up signing up with A&M Records because Perception went under pretty soon after, with some assistance from Mike Love and Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys. Yeah, ew.
Not hits. Carl Wilson, yeah. Mike Love.
Yeah, so just basically ended up falling apart, and they've done a couple of reunions. All anybody wants to do is hear the song.
This was released again in 2000 by a group called the Top Loader.
Yeah, which apparently I did not listen to that.
Kind of it became kind of a thing. That one actually, I think, charted a little bit better than the original. Of course, they're probably
The hard work has been done.
Yeah, exactly. Went to number one in Poland, but everything else never really busted up much further than about 10 or 7, you know, in any of the other countries, especially not, you know, the big market, United States, where it really, really makes a difference. Didn't do a whole hell of a lot, but it is something that people recognize. There's another version by some group called Jubal that I don't even think we should really, I don't even know why I brought it up. It's on the Wikipedia, but the song, if you've ever turned on classic rock, you've heard it. It's mm-hmm. there, especially when you hear, I guarantee almost anybody listening to this show has heard those little twinkly keys at the beginning and gone, oh, there's that song.
Yeah, absolutely. How the song came to be, we will talk about a little bit after we go through some of these lyrics, because that is the true story here.
In a minute.
So we get the little twinkly keyboards, as Seth mentioned before, kind of setting the tone. And
they're
then,
nice, Mark.
Yeah, oh, they are. Everyone's, I mean, they're
it's
nice.
Okay to have something nice in
no,
your
no,
life.
No, it's pretty. And then we get the bop, bada, bop, bop, bop. We get it on most every night. And when that old moon gets so big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight.
All right. It's actually a really, this is what I thought when I used to listen to it. What is this damn hippie shit?
You know, I can see, like, young Seth.
Oh, yeah.
Two front teeth missing. Jean jacket,
long red hair going, what the fuck is this?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, as you get older and you learn some things. Okay, so it's pleasant. It's background music. It's not hurting anybody.
Well, I mean, what a way to open a song talking about everybody fucking.
I guess you could say. You know, when
I get it on most every night?
Yeah, I don't really.
Let's get it on.
I didn't think about it.
How did you not think about this?
I didn't when I mentioned it to my wife. It was, she said the first thing you did, she's like, oh, so it's a song about doing it. And I was like, well, yeah, sort of. Yeah, yeah. And she's like, well, that's happy. That's nice. And she's like, and then she walked away and was like, is that it? And I was like, well, no. You know, but,
no,
you know,
no.
But,
no,
but she was like, and then I read the rest of the lyrics and she was like, well, where's the controversy in this? And she was like, and then she thought, oh, it's about an orgy. That's what it's about.
I mean, it definitely has. I mean, you know, it does mention, you know, it talks about the moon.
Mm-hmm.
When the moon gets big and bright,
the moon is supposed to make you want to do it.
It's a supernatural delight.
Mm.
Everybody was dancing in the moonlight. Do you think that dancing in the moonlight is
code
for fucking?
It could be. It could be seen that way. As we're sitting here and really digging
the
down.
The horizontal into, mambo?
Many mambos. Maybe many.
Oh,
many
yeah.
Mambos. It
I
could
mean,
be more than one. You're right. I mean, yes, it does give it. But have you ever had a supernatural delight, Mark?
I don't. What
has
do
it
you
ever
consider?
Been, has it ever been so good that it was supernatural?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, for sure.
When that happens. So it's pleasant, Mark. So we have a very pleasant first verse.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of wild that they just kind of like kick in the door with, we're fucking almost every night. And we don't know what who we is, right. You know? It's just, you know, you talk about hating that, that just they, we.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't, but in this case, once again, it's just so, it's that those little twinkly sounds just take it all away. Just take all the pain away. Oh boy, what did I just say? Just take away the, you know, whatever hurt might be there. It just seems to just go away with those little, the little spry sounds.
Then we get our second verse. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose. They keep things light. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight.
I was just, as you went over that, going over the genius annotation.
Very interesting, yeah.
Moonlight, particularly on the full moon, has the association with werewolves, lunatics, and even ordinary dogs are said to bay and bark, mourn when the moon is bright and full. I do get that. However, this moonlight has only brought out the good in people. They're not dangerous and will neither bark nor bite. Now, Mark, I have had, I will never forget, one night I went on a date with a girl before, my wife, and we went out.
Pre-gen,
very well pre-gen. And one night we went out in the woods, and it was a full moon, and I did not know this, and she pointed it out, and it was a good night. And
good.
Yes, and that was like one of the first times I thought to myself, holy shit. Going
was
out,
it supernatural?
It was. Yes, it was.
Okay.
It was. I was thinking to myself, I can see everything in these woods. I can see her. I could. There was a lake there. It was truly supernaturally romantic.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It truly was. And before that time, you'd always thought of the full moon. As a kid, you make the werewolf reference, so I get this coming from genius.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is when I remember this was, I was in, you know, early 20s, and this is when that turned, when I thought, wow, the moon is very, very romantic, so I can totally relate to these damn lyrics, Mark.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sounding, you know, with every verse, I think we start, what kind of world are we living in?
Mm.
Everybody here is out of sight. Where is he? What, you know, where are we talking about? What's going on here? They don't bark and they don't bite. So we've got, you know, like a hippie commune, it sounds kind of like. You know, they keep things loose. They keep things light. There's, you know, no one's being intense. No one's being an asshole. And everybody was dancing in the moonlight. No, I don't. Well, I don't think so.
I hope not.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
And then we get the chorus, dancing in the moonlight, everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight, everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
Have you ever seen a butt in the moonlight?
Yeah.
A lady's butt that you're attracted to in the moonlight?
Yeah, I'm sure I have.
God damn, the song just keeps getting more pleasant when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's pretty.
Well, I mean, it's definitely painting a pretty picture.
Definitely.
Can't help but wonder.
What is this shit?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, he just, the number of times they say dancing in the moonlight has got to be extraordinary.
Well, it does go on ad nauseum.
I mean, it is the name of the song. I mean, the first and last line of the chorus are dancing in the moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they really get a lot of mileage out of the "ight" rhyme scheme.
I
light,
right,
bright,
do,
sight, fight, tight, delight.
They went to the
bite
Eminem songbook writing style, or Eminem textbook of writing songs. You know how he puts the same sound on every single consonant at the end of every line.
And I'm realizing now that in the verse, they keep things loose, they keep things light. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight, so they're rhyming light with light. Now, I don't know what lyrics you're I think you're using genius as
genius,
well.
Yes, yes.
So, were you ever under the impression, and maybe I just didn't hear this correctly, they keep things loose, they keep things tight?
I did think that once. And then I did think that for a time, not paying much attention to lyrics. Let's face it, Mark. I don't know about you, but I never paid attention to any other line other than dancing in the moonlight for years and years and years until we started doing this show. And then I started paying attention to the lyrics one day. And I did think the light and tight rhyme was there. And I thought to myself at first, oh, there's not much there, but there is. But I did recognize that at first.
Well, the lyrics of the top loader version say They keep things loose. They keep them tight. So it makes me wonder. I don't, you know, Genius has been wrong before. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay a super lot of attention. Maybe you did. But there is a chance that they say they keep things loose. They think keep things tight, which is just going, it just doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. No, I like the Genius lyrics better if they are correct.
They keep things loose. They keep things light.
Light, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
I think that would probably
I mean, this, definitely the King Heart. And fuck Tarp Loader anyway, so who gives a shit?
Then we get the third verse. We like our fun and we never fight. You can't dance and stay uptight. It's a supernatural delight. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight.
Now, I do have to say, Mark, that as a young man, I didn't think much of dancing. But as an older man, I dance every opportunity that I get.
Okay.
Last night, I went into a popular seafood restaurant in downtown Fort Myers, and a jumpy little electronic dance beat was playing. And I came in with a strut and started kind of bouncing Hell my yeah. shoulders. Mark's okay. looking at it right now.
Hell yeah.
And I did, and I walked in to go in, and I heard they had good shrimp and grits in there. And I was like, I was prepared. And as I did, this gentleman, who I'm thinking about it now, kind of looks like a former podcast host of yours. Who was a very nice guy, actually, danced directly at me in the same way. And it made me happy to get my shrimp and grits from that place.
Nice.
In that I can get a response out of another person. When people dance, they have obviously lightened up enough to express themselves beyond a 1-2 step back and forth, going forward. They've done a little bit more. And I appreciate that. I'll dance at a wedding, Mark.
Yeah, I like to do a little shimmy. I'm not much of a dancer, but I like to shimmy.
I will.
Well, good. Yeah. I think you should.
Yeah.
Ever find it hard to stay in a bad mood while having fun? Dancing is one of the many activities that is shown to improve mood, boost self-confidence, and reduce stress. For someone who dances every night, it really is hard to stay uptight.
It's true. And a dog. If you dance with a dog and pet the dog at the same time, you'll lower your blood pressure.
And again, I don't know that we're talking about dancing here.
I don't know.
Maybe we are.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, we like our fun and we never fight. Again, like, we're just talking about this utopia. We're just talking about this place where no one ever fights. Everyone's dancing or fucking or both. Back and forth. And, you know, what could go wrong? We get another chorus, dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. I don't know if I'd call it a natural sight for no one to be fighting. Fine is yes,
yeah.
But I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. You know,
there's always, you know, you get crowds of people, something's going to go wrong. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, laid back hippies or you know, the most rotten of souls stuck together. Something's going to happen somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it still paints a pretty picture. And it's weird how we revisit verse 2 here towards the end of where the verse chorus verse, you know.
I thought maybe I was pattern. Losing count.
Mm-mm.
And I was like, I thought we already went past verse 2, but they're calling it verse 2, even though it's the fourth verse. It is a repeat
because
of verse 2.
Relive it.
There's a little bit of a musical break here where you hear some more of those twinkly keyboards. And then we get verse 2 was the one they decided really needed to be just shoved back down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose. They keep things light. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight. And then they just repeat the chorus ad infinitum.
A lot.
A whole bunch.
Yeah, like 5 minutes. And it just goes on, and I understand. But you kind of get it, Mark, in that you got to draw this out because people are probably going to be dancing to it at this point. So you need to, you know, repeat the choruses over and over again to give them something to dance to.
Yeah.
So
and
we
I mean,
get
it. It's a boogie song.
We get
for
it.
For sure.
We get it. It's a wedding
this
song.
This is, I was just going to say, this is a perfect song for a wedding where you dance with, like, your 8-year-old niece.
Yes.
And you do the thing where you twirl her around. And, you know, your tie's a little loose. shirt's unbuttoned a little bit because, you know, maybe you had a couple too many whiskey sodas.
There's a song that Amelia and I dance to at every wedding. Jackie Wilson Said by Van Morrison.
Ooh, we love a jam.
Because I, you know, she's getting bigger, but still when I dance with her, I pick her up, and when it goes boom, 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 I shake her up and down. You know, I hold her up and down. So that's the thing. I can see that happening with this song as well. There's some dad out there that dances with his daughter at a wedding every time this comes on. Because we've heard this at weddings. I have. I mean, I don't know about you.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I have or not. I can say that I've heard this song at a wedding I've been to, but I know it as being easily a wedding song, and I'm sure I've seen something somewhere where there is a wedding on screen or whatever, and that song mm-hmm, is playing. Mm-hmm. Who's going
to
tell them?
Mark, there seems to be some sort of, you know, if there's all this good going on, there's got to be some sort of undercurrent of bad
before,
that could happen.
Yeah,
I mean, there's too much good going on here, Mark.
Well, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
We're talking 1960s to 1970s.
72 is when it comes out.
We're talking, but it was written in 69.
Yes.
So, you know, we're talking flower power. We're talking some drugs.
Good vibes, man.
We're talking about good vibes.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, is there anything wrong with imagining a world, a utopia? No. I don't think so.
Imagine.
Okay, that was good.
Yes.
Who tells them?
I mean, I think you should. I think you
this
should.
Is
this is your voice.
This is Sherman Kelly writing on his official website, the origin of this song. On a trip to St. Croix in 1969, I was the first victim. I don't know why I want to laugh. It's so terrible.
It is terrible, but I get it.
Because it's so in conjunction with the song.
I mean, he's kind of laughing in the face of it.
Such stark contrast.
Yeah.
On a trip to St. Croix in 1969, I was the first victim of a... God, I feel so terrible. It's just... God, to build it all up like this.
Yeah. Okay, go.
On a trip to St. Croix in 1969, I was the first victim of a vicious St. Croix gang who eventually murdered 8 American tourists. At that time, I suffered multiple facial fractures and wounds, and I was left for dead. While I was recovering, I wrote Dancing in the Moonlight, in which I envisioned an alternate reality, the dream of a peaceful and joyful celebration of life. The song became a huge hit and was recorded by many musicians worldwide. Dancing in the Moonlight continues to be popular to this day.
Okay, now, that's the succinct. That's just to let you know what this is about. It gets deeper. It gets a lot deeper. There was a gentleman that went to go interview Sherman Kelly around the time that COVID started. He actually got in there to do it because he had heard about what had happened, and he got a much more in-depth picture of exactly what had happened. Kelly and some friends were running a nightclub in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands in 1969, and one day they decided to rent a 65-foot yacht and travel to St. Croix for the day, which is an island near there.
God, you wake up in the morning just like, let's go to St. Croix.
Yeah. Nice, beautiful day.
Jesus,
let's
gorgeous.
Jump on a sailboat.
Fuck yeah.
And have a nice time. Unbeknownst to him at the time, Kelly was prone to seasickness, and he and his girlfriend got really seasick on the crossing. When the group arrived in St. Croix, those on board took a dinghy, to shore to look for some dinner, but Kelly and his girlfriend were both still sick and weren't interested in eating at that point. The group got its food and decided to head back to the boat to spend the night. Kelly and his girlfriend looked out into the harbor and saw the boat's mast swaying back and forth, and instead opted to stay in town overnight rather than risk more seasickness on the boat. There was only one problem. Due to his extreme seasickness and disorientation, Kelly had left his wallet on the boat and had no money or credit cards for a hotel. They went to a small inn, explained the situation to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper offered for them to settle up in the morning, or they offered to settle up in the morning with the innkeeper when Kelly could return with his wallet. And the innkeeper said, sure, You can stay here with me if your girlfriend will sleep with me. So this is what happened according to Kelly.
Okay.
Okay. After being turned down at a second inn, Kelly's girlfriend said, "It's just a beautiful night. Why don't we just stretch out on the beach?" So we did. And that's all I remember very clearly. What happened after that was pieced together through bits of Kelly's own memory and recollections of other people. According to those accounts, while sleeping on the beach, Kelly and his girlfriend were the victims of a vicious St. Croix street gang. Kelly was severely beaten by five gang members wielding baseball bats. His girlfriend was then raped by the gang leader, and the rest were in line awaiting turn. But Kelly's girlfriend later reported that Kelly regained consciousness during the attack, got up, started fighting, and made enough noise to scare off the rest of the attackers.
What the fuck?
Is that not insane? While drifting in and out of consciousness, the two managed to follow the lights to the shore, were eventually making their way to the only St. Croix hospital. Kelly and his girlfriend were among the first victims of the notorious Fountain Valley Gang, who in 1972 murdered eight tourists and wounded eight more, thereby devastating St. Croix's tourism for many, many years. He woke up in a hospital thinking that he wasn't going to make it, but he did. He was flown eventually back to New York, where doctors in the United States were able to re-break the bones in his face, resetting them so that he could look somewhat normal. He's walked with a limp ever since. Then we can go back to the I envisioned an alternate reality. Now, my question is, how? I'd be pissed, man.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that, you know, when we were going over the lyrics, he said something like, well, I think this song is kind of him laughing. I disagree.
Really?
I think that this song was his way of trying to, like, find a way to be able to exist while recovering from something so heinous.
You think?
Yeah.
I kind of look at it as musical passive aggressiveness. Like not really dealing with it.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's kind of, yeah. I think we're kind of saying the same thing.
Think so?
I mean, I think that he, it's like when people, you know, go through something terrible and they block it out of their memory, or they,
hover above it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking down at the horrible thing.
Where it's like, he says, I mean, it was his way of dealing with it.
Listen, this guy went through something awful, and however he deals with it is his business, and God bless him how he gets through it. I just, whenever I hear about these crimes and these injustices done, they still to this day piss me off. And I just think I can't get, help but feel but a little bit of anger, when I think of all of that. Not a little bit. When I hear of shit like this, I get very angry. I don't like it at all. And, I don't mean to bring up a terrible, terrible thing, but Mark, a girl was shot in Cape Coral last night.
I heard about that.
Yeah. I
heard about it at work.
Nothing. For absolute, just walking down the street, man, with her two friends after seeing a movie. And just that stuff pisses me off. And I think that it's correct to have for your first emotion to be anger.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he was feeling a bevy of emotions.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Don't think that it was just like, oh, man, it's okay, but imagine if everybody fucked in the moonlight. But
what I can say is imagine if this happened to Kerry King, man. I mean, a little different,
It also makes more sense because when I was looking at the lyrics on my way home today, I was thinking, why the moonlight? Like none of this takes place during the day, but now it makes sense.
Yeah.
He's just picturing this safe zone where he and his girlfriend could be and not be attacked.
What's the word I'm looking for? Dichotomy? Is that it?
Maybe.
We need to look up the juxtaposition of the moon can be a beautiful, happy thing, but at the same time, it can be when the werewolves come out,
Absolutely.
The wolves come out. So maybe, that is somewhat poetic, you have to admit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy is not just suffering what happened to him.
He's got to deal with his woman.
But also what happened to his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, I think.
And I mean, having to get facial reconstruction to look somewhat normal. is just, fuck, man, it's beyond the pale.
Having to have something like that in your relationship with a woman, something like that, it's got to be devastating to deal with. Devastating.
Oh.
I think that's the worst thing. I really do think so.
Yeah, he...
pissed me off, man. Sorry.
He looks pretty normal.
Oh, he does now, yeah. And apparently still alive, so... Good on you, Sherman Kelly, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, to get, like, with baseball bats, man, to go through that and to still be able to come to the aid of your girlfriend and try and save them. Ugh. Sherman Kelly, St. Croix hero.
Yeah.
I didn't know all that stuff. No, so you definitely know. I mean, yeah. I knew.
Kind of dug.
I mean, you know, eight people murdered, man.
Eight people. Eight that could wounded, have been 10. Murdered.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy could have been 10.
But the real question is, you know, I mean, I guess there's no saying it's a different time. Bad shit still happens to this day. But what is the fucking motivation of these damn people, man? Mm. What is the motivation of, you know, what good am I going to get out of beating this person to death? What the fuck do you get out of it? It just makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are people that are beyond sense. I think largely a lot of people who commit crimes like this.
Some can say, oh, desperation, but that's not the case.
Well, I mean,
that's not the case. It's not.
It doesn't seem to be here.
No, it's just like animal, like, you know, just we started fucking eating people alive, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah. Some people just have something in them to where they're
destroyed.
Angry or fuck, you know, whatever the fuck, who knows? And who knows what, like, the conditions were like in St. Croix, where, you know, it's just, and not that any of it makes it okay, but no. Damn. What's the creep factor here?
It's the fucking weirdest.
There's a question for you.
Holy shit. Okay, so before we knew, you know what, man? I actually want to give it something because, like I said, at the end of it, when we started, there's like an undercurrent of there's something weird going on here. There's something strange going on here. So I'm still going to give it like a 1. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Before, oh, no. Yeah.
But after it, after knowing what it is.
Well, I think you got to go with after, because I think we've just got to consider.
So, oh, fuck, man. What do we say? What do you say? Because most of the time we're looking at the viewpoint of the songwriter that might be saying something that he possibly shouldn't be saying, not somebody that's, you know, musically dealing with his trauma. I guess you could make the case that that's always what's going on in these songs. But if it's taken from the view of the songwriter, it's a zero. It really is. If it's taken to the view from the... Mark, this is going to sound weird. I'm going to give this song a 0.1.
0.1.
Yeah, because okay. I don't want to say that anything that he's doing is creepy, because the guy is dealing with what is obviously a totally life-altering trauma. And I think he kind of dealt with it in a decent way. So, yeah. So there's nothing creepy about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just awful. Creepy, I don't know. It starts off kind of like, oh, this is weird, hippy dippy stuff. And then you find out the story and you're like, oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm with you. I mean, I'll give it like a 0.5 or something.
I mean, the question is how much are you going to let the knowledge of what happened and what spurred, you know, what was the impetus for writing the song affect how you feel the creepiness of it? When you work through it, I guess it depends on, you know, at what point you've processed each bit of information. Initially, it's very creepy, but then when you think about how this guy, well, I mean, he took a what essentially is a timeless a tragedy and turned it into a timeless song. So I want to look at it as a good thing, you know. I want to, so that's why I gave it the low score that I did.
Yeah, I think that that's the right way to go. I think we just have to go pretty low. And
please tell us what you thought. If this is a reveal to you, if you didn't know this and you're learning it on Lyrics to Go, please come on the Facebook page. Please go to the Facebook page or the Instagram page, or send us an email like our good friend Robert Williams in England. I'm so happy that we have a British listener. listener mark brought to us by John Fahey from Profiles in Eccentricity. I don't know if
you
read that email.
I did see that email briefly while I was at work.
Been giving us some absolutely golden suggestions on lyrics to go pod@gmail.com. Hopefully y'all guys are listening and you'll do that as well. Mark, what are we gonna do
next up? We are going to do a song that we've had on the list for a little bit. I'm just kind of interested to see what we can do with it. We're going to do Bonnie Tyler, Holding Out for a Hero.
Okay, that's going to be unusual.
It's going to be a weird one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's going to be some of what we've been looking at as far as expectations for the opposite sex and kind of turn it on its head. And I mean, it's just kind of a giant cheese ball. It'll be a nice, relaxing change from this.
Alleviate the weight. Take a little bit of that off. Yeah,
absolutely. Anything you want to say before we wrap up here?
I said everything I need to say. I think it's all been said. It's all been done.
We thank you, dear listener, for listening. Episode 170.
Wow.
And quickly approaching episode 200. We appreciate you all listening and spreading the word. Spreading. Yes, shredding. Like a schmear. Thank you so much. We will be back next Monday. Listen to Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero, which we will talk about extensively on next Monday's Lyrics to Go.
Somewhere between my mouth and your ears, some words got lost, the idea wandered off.
Thanks a lot for listening. Our theme song was done by Exploding Pages. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for songs or lyrics, you can send them to lyrics2gopod@gmail.com. We'll be back here next week.